God longs for us to be a church where he is totally at home. He longs for us to be a church that he can say, I strongly support those people, instead of saying, I resist them. I know how to be the kind of church where God's at home and where he strongly supports us. The Bible makes it crystal clear. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The prophet said to the king of Judah, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, that he might strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. That's the church God will support. There's always been a passage that's mentioned in the Old Testament 2 times, the New Testament 3. It's always put the fear of God in me. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I don't want to be on a list where God says, I resist you. I want to be on the list where God says, I strongly support you. And it's easy to get there. It's what we've already heard in the baptisms. Lord, I'm yours. I repent. I'm yours. This morning, I want to take just a few moments and remind myself and remind you of a few basic principles that guide us as a church family. And I'd begin by saying this. Each one of us are as close to God as we want to be. And you never drift into a relationship with God, ever. It's always intentional. And if we intentionally follow God as a church family, it begins by saying every day, Lord, I'm yours. You bought me with your blood. I'm no longer mine. I belong to you. I am on this planet to fulfill your will. Now, what I would like to go through is not new. It is ancient. But it comes from the heart of Jesus Christ. It's in the pages of Scripture. It's what makes my heart beat every day. It's the passion of my life. It's what this church is about. I want to begin by telling you this. We are made by God, and we are made for God. Therefore, knowing God is where we will discover our origin, our identity, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ that we have come to know God. And Jesus teaches us that life is about letting God use us for his purposes. That's what it's about. God, I'm here to fulfill your purposes. And Jesus made it really clear. He spelled it out what that is in the Great Command and the Great Commission. The Great Command is simple. Love God, love people. The Great Commission, we illustrated it today. Go to all peoples and make disciples of Jesus Christ. So because of Jesus, our mission is to spread a passion to love God and people above all else. It's because of him. Now, when you look at Jesus and look at what he did with his disciples, it's thrilling to watch because he transformed his disciples into curious inquirers, into people who passionately loved God and others. How did he do that? He did it by being very intentional to follow a simple, consistent, intentional process to move these disciples to deeper and deeper levels of commitment to Jesus. And if you study what Jesus did, it's very simple. First, he helped them to know God through faith in Christ. Then he put them into a community where they would rub up against each other and they became more and more like Jesus. And then he said, now go and make disciples of all of the nations. So as a church family, because we belong to Jesus and because he's building his church through us and because we want to follow his pattern of building disciples, we build our church around know, go, and grow. That's why. We're simply trying to follow Jesus' simple process of making disciples. And that should shape the way we do church. It should be simple. And it should follow the pattern of Jesus. And the way we do that is we have three primary ministries that constantly reinforce the Jesus pattern of know, grow, and go. That's our worship services, our Sunday classes, and our small groups. All of the other ministries we have reinforce and support that path of know, grow, and go. We do that because that's the way Jesus did it. Now, I believe that if you open your Bible and study it from beginning to end, the good news about Jesus Christ is the central message of the Bible, the gospel. Therefore, that should be our grid for studying Scripture and living life. So we have a grid that we try to imprint in our mind over and over again, that it starts with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And flowing out of that are hundreds of gospel truths that we are to believe. And then we're to let those shape our behavior, and we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the grid by which we approach life and we approach Scripture. And that leads to spiritual formation. Formation is a biblical term. It's used in the Greek language of being formed, conformed into the image of Christ. And spiritual formation involves three simple things. It involves believing, engagement, and practice. It involves believing the gospel and its truths, active engagement with other believers, and then practicing the gospel behaviors and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we're doing this and we're following the know-grow path, as we do it, we go. We go and make disciples of all nations. And it begins right around us with our families, with our friends, our relatives, our associates and neighbors, where we try to love them and serve them and point them to faith in Jesus Christ. The stories you heard today are examples of people doing that. And then in going, we want to go beyond that and support those who are going to all peoples around the world. That's why 25% of our budget is to go to missions, to unreached people groups. And we want to serve this community. I am thrilled about what God is doing with the Band of Brothers, other evangelical pastors in Arlington. I totaled it up this week and I was shocked. It's an answer to prayer. In the last 2 years, God has sent to Arlington County 10 new evangelical pastors. They're either planting churches or they're reviving dead churches, but every one of them are part of this Band of Brothers. God's doing something here, and we're part of that. It's a kingdom mentality. How do we grow as a church? It's a very simple process through these small groups, and we're trying to focus more and more on geographic and intergenerational, so you connect well and serve your community, less worlds to manage. From those small groups, we form Sunday classes, community groups, and those can become a base for new church plants. One of my dreams is that we will become a church planting factory that will just multiply over and over again and see a movement of the grace of God and hundreds of people transformed by the gospel. Now, everything I just told you is the essence of what we're about, and it's in that little green brochure in your bulletin. Take it home, read it, pray over it, and study it. One of my heroes is one of our missionaries we've supported for a long time. Bob and Noel Rich are missionaries in Peru. They've planted over 60 churches. They're involved in all kinds of ministries. We're thrilled to have them with us today. And I've asked Bob to come and share his heart with you and a little update on his ministry. Please welcome Bob Rich.
It's our pleasure to be with you here this morning and just to share a little bit in this service with you. We want to say, first of all, thank you. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for those that pray for us. Thank you for your giving for the work of the gospel in the places where we are, where we're visiting, where we're sharing the word of God. We try to be faithful servants, try to seek to glorify the Lord, walk responsibly before Him. We want to be filled with His Word, filled with His Spirit, as we go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ with those people. I'd like to share with you a verse from Scripture, and I believe this applies to all of us, and also especially for those that were baptized now this morning. Jesus said this. He said, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If we continue in the Word of God, if we continue in Jesus' words, we will truly be His disciples. We'll know the truth. We'll be people that are free as we continue in the Word of God. I'd like to share my own experience in this. We daily meditate upon the Word of God. Let the Word of God fill our hearts. Try to live in obedience to what God says to us, and walk with Him in fellowship with the Word of God. I would like to share the experience of one of our Peruvian believers. He came to know Christ as his Savior when he was 60 years old. He didn't know how to read. And his son actually was the one that led him to the Lord. He had been saved in another town, came back to the city of Arequipa, witnessed to his father. I went with him. The man opened his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He took a Bible with large print and began to read the hymn books that we use there. He used those as we sang the songs, and he would follow them and learn to read his Bible. In his third year, he decided he would read the Bible through. And so he took one of those papers that says what verses you're supposed to read each day, and he marked it, put his little X on the piece of paper, and he read the Bible through that third year after his conversion, not having known how to read before. And when he got to the end of the year, he was full of joy. He rejoiced in having the Word of God in his heart. Maybe he didn't understand everything. You know, when I read, I don't understand everything either. But you know, as he read, he understood what God was doing in his life, making him a new creature through the Word of God. And then the fourth year, he also read the Bible through. The fifth year, he also read the Bible through, all the way. And each year, as he got to the end of the year, he'd say, "Brother, you know, I'm just about done again. You know, I fulfilled each day. I fulfilled my 3.5 chapters of Bible reading. And I'm joyful in the Lord." He is one of the leaders in one of our churches at this time, because God has worked in his heart through his word. You know, this is what the Bible says in another place. It says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Let's be people who are established in the Word of God.
Thank you, Bob. Let's take a moment right now and shoot some prayers at the riches. We thank God for them and thank of the 60 churches in Peru, the school that Noah is working in, and let's pray for them. Lord, thank you so much for the riches and their faithfulness, and thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ scattered through those 60 churches. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them today, that you would cause them to grow and multiply. Thank you for the story we've heard. We pray for Bob and Noel that you'd give them wisdom and strength and expand their borders. And Lord, raise up many more prayer warriors to stand behind them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's our joy to welcome 19 new members through our three services today. And in this service, I've asked Jason Baird. He and his wife, Brandy, are joining our church today. Jason's playing his guitar up there, and he's going to come and share a story. Please welcome Jason.
I was raised in kind of a family that was had a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. My dad worked real hard, and he played real hard. We kind of grew up in a family that people forgave you, didn't hold a grudge, and forgot stuff really easily, which was very helpful. To say I grew up in a Christian home seems little, you know, doesn't seem enough to express the blessings that I got from that. It was the type of home where I like to say it wasn't that silence was golden, it was just golden. It was the only thing that you heard at nighttime when you went to sleep. You didn't hear it any other time because you were kind of always doing something. It was in this environment that I learned about God, and I learned about all of the stories and adventures that his people had all through history. And one night at church when I was 8 years old, there wasn't anything special about the service. There wasn't anything unique. It was just I knew that it was time to come to God. There was something inside of me that kind of pulled me and said, hey, you belong with me. And so I walked to the front and I asked God to come into my life. And he said, as a Savior. And this part of the story is where most people say, and then I went into my teenage years and things kind of went horribly wrong. And I crashed and burned only to come back 3 years later. It just didn't happen for me that way. I had a bunch of people in my life who always told me that the one thing they regretted was not spending enough time with their parents when they were growing up, that they missed out on that. And so I made it my point at a very young age that I was going to take that opportunity to get to know who my parents were and who my family was, and that I wasn't going to let things of the world pull me away from that because I've seen the damage that it had done in other people's lives. I became a mama's boy and a daddy's boy and just kind of clung on to my parents. But at the age of 15, I went to a youth conference, and I kind of had this other little voice from God, kind of like when I was saved, and it kind of went like this. You've been given a lot of stuff, and you've been given a really happy life. What are you doing? And I was, what do you mean, what am I doing? Well, you've been blessed with all this stuff. You've been blessed with, you know, love and happiness and joy. And there are people out there who need that. And, you know, what are you doing with your life? And so I kind of got a wake-up call that, you know, I had joined a team, but I wasn't really contributing to the team. I wasn't even really playing the game. And so I kind of looked at it and said, you know what, there is something. I can do something for God. And I started praying for opportunities. And that summer when I was 15, I joined a mission team in my church and became a clown for the next 3 summers at Georgia Mountain Resort Ministries. It was pretty incredible. Clowns are scary people. So I fit right in. But it was kind of an eye-opener for me because then I got to know my church family and found out that all that love and joy and wonder that I experienced in my own family, I could also experience through a church. That there was only one other place kind of on the planet where you could get that, and that was through God, through his people. And so I really got to know that and grow to love that support system. I knew that I could go over to any of my friends' homes in the church and know that there was a mom or dad there. I had 7 or 8 moms or dads in the church at any given time. I knew I could rely on people. I knew that I had just as much support from them as I did my own parents. But then I went to college, and once again, you're like, oh, this is part of the story where everything's going to go down. But no, I went to college, and that whole support system was pulled out from under me. But it was, again, a time where God said, you know, I built up this structure, and now I've taken it away. And it was time for God to show me that how much I really was dependent on him and was dependent on his people to get the love that I needed. And so once again, he led me to a church. Once again, I kind of joined a mission team, and for the next 3 summers, I was in Germany and Poland, not as a clown, but kind of as a clown, but just not with the makeup. That's where I met my wife. I met my wife in college. God answers prayers in very obvious ways, and he needs to for me. I prayed to God. I said, I see all these people with all these significant others, and I said, I would really like to find a woman, God, who, you know, fits me perfectly, and, you know, if there's some way you could just let me know that it's the right one, that would be really helpful, whether it's like a T-shirt that says, hey, I'm your wife, or something. It would be really helpful. And so about 8 months later, I met a lady who, about 3 months after that, said, I'm going to marry you one day. And I said, no, you're not. There's no chance. 3 years later, she won that argument. And she's sitting up there. But, you know, once again, I had another blessing from God. But if you look on the stage today, there's something that doesn't quite belong. Maybe it's that bright green gourd up here. Some of you have probably seen this a Sunday or two before in front of Alan's drum set. And some people know more stories about the gourd than the rest of you ever will. But the gourd kind of represents when my wife and I moved up here. We kind of felt like this gourd up on stage didn't quite fit in. People are faster here, we found out. People use horns for things that we feel horns were never intended to be used for. We use them to say hello in the South. So when I first got here, I was, there's people. How many people know me? But also, there were other things we didn't get used to. We'd go to churches, and we'd go there for weeks. And every time the greeting came around, nobody would say a word to you. It was really sad. Go to Sunday school classes where it was like you were part of the wall. No one ever even took the initiative to get to know you. And at the same time, my wife kind of got sick when we first moved up here. She actually, we went from doctor to doctor, couldn't find out what was going on, and she had a tumor in her chest about the size of this gourd that took about 2 years to find. We never intended to stay in D.C. We moved up here because I was with the State Department, and we intended to go overseas actually immediately when we got here, but then that got pushed back to a year, which got pushed back to 2 years, which got pushed back to, oh, by the way, your training doesn't count for a year, so you're going to be here for 3 years. And at the end of that 3 years, of course, the medical issues came up, and so we couldn't go overseas. So we kind of got stuck here in a place where we hadn't really set down roots and didn't really care to be because there wasn't people that really seemed to care about us. But through that, we kind of stumbled through the internet and found our way here to Cherrydale and found people who would actually greet you and welcome you and appreciate you as a person. Went to a Sunday school class that embraced us, and even though we couldn't be there every Sunday because of different things that were going on in our life, we could always tell that there were people there that we could go to if we did need anything. And kind of at the beginning of this year, my wife and I took stock of our life and said, you know, this isn't the greatest place in the world that we're used to, and it's kind of uncomfortable. But there are some things going for us, and there are some things that we wish could be better. So we took kind of a spiritual assessment of our life, so what do we need to get right? And one of the things we needed to get right was we really needed to join the church and try to gain that support structure that I had in the past and that she had as well. And so we're trying to align our life to make it to where it is, once again, a place where God wants us to be. And if later on God moves us somewhere else, and he moves us somewhere else, but for our part, we want to give it the best shot we can. And so that's kind of what brought us here today in joining the church and where we're at now.
We have a number of new believers we're welcoming into our fellowship today, and I've asked one to come and share his story today, Jim Irwin. He and his wife will be joining Cherrydale. Please welcome Jim.
Hi, good morning. You know, when Pastor King asked me to talk about living a Christ-centered life, I thought the only appropriate thing I had to do was first ask myself as a Christian, how am I doing in that regard? And I thought, well, some days I do well, and other days, okay, other days, pretty bad, and some days I fail miserably. And I thought, well, why the difference? What's the difference? I figured there's many factors, but one that really stands out to me was the time. It's the time that I'm spending with the Lord, the time in the Bible in the morning, reading, trying to understand the passages, time in prayer, time in fellowship, being in the Spirit, which allows me to go out into the world properly armed to deal with the challenges. So then I asked myself, what do I need to be doing to live a more Christ-centered life? And I thought, well, first and foremost, let's make a commitment to walk with the Lord, not just in the morning or just not at that time of night, but throughout the day, a greater commitment to the church and a greater commitment to furthering God's kingdom and his glory. Now, when I've done that, and I'm not saying that I always have, but when I have, I've gotten some good results. I have greater accountability, growth as a Christian, more obedient to God, a changed heart. But overall, if I could sum it up, I'd say I have consistency. I have a much more consistent walk with the Lord. So for me, it really boils down to a choice. I mean, I could know what to do. That's part of it. I could even be aware of the possible outcomes if I do these things or I don't. I have plenty of examples when I've read through the Bible of men who knew what to do, men like David, Solomon, and Peter. But still, at times, they failed. And I realize that there's the initial choice, which I have made, which is to come to the Lord, to commit my life to him. And then there's that choice that I have to make each day, and that's will I walk with him. Now, I know that I can't succeed in doing that on my own, but I know that through fellowship, through being in the Holy Spirit, through the help of the Lord, that it's absolutely possible to do that. And by doing so, it would make a difference. It has. But I know that if I did it on a more consistent basis, it would have a tremendous difference, not just in my life, but in the lives of people around me. So in joining this morning as a member of Cherrydale, I just want to say on behalf of my wife, Sonia, and I thank you very much. We're very excited to become part of the Cherrydale family. We look forward to getting to know many of you and staying committed to the concept of know, grow, and go. Thank you.
We are so grateful to have new members joining our fellowship today. And there's a young couple that's going to join us, and I've asked them to come and share their testimony with us, Catherine and Zane Hamilton. Please welcome them. They're going to share their story. So.
Catherine came to know Christ at a very young age. I started following Christ in college. And I think it'd be wonderful to say that ever since we became followers of Christ, that our lives have been completely centered on Jesus. But I don't think that would be the truth. In all honesty, there have been periods of intense growth in our walks with Christ, periods of struggle or backsliding, and everything in between. Like Pastor King mentioned last week in his sermon, we are prone to worry, anxiousness, and a loss of love for others. In particular, of late, Catherine and I have found ourselves faced with the question where we truly find our identity. There's a strong temptation, particularly in the city, to look for identity in our jobs, to look for validation and acceptance based on our performance, to measure our worth by our paychecks. There's a constant and often unconscious temptation to do these things. But despite these failings, I believe that the general trend is an upward one. And there are things that we can look to see our growth in Christ. Being married, for one, has brought us to a whole new level of what it means to be selfless, to love each other as Christ loves us, and more generally, the opportunity to make Christ not only the center of our lives, but also the center of our marriage. One theme that we have both found along our journeys to become more like Christ is that there is a remarkable difference in our lives when we are in fellowship and when we are not. In college, Catherine and I both experienced dramatic growth in our walks with God through a close Bible study and fellowship group. It was a group that met regularly, studied God's word, prayed together, shared our lives together. And since graduating almost 2 years ago, true fellowship has been harder to find, and our resulting growth, if we are honest, has been much less than we would have liked. We have realized that for true spiritual growth, we need other Christians, and we need to be connected to the body of Christ. So that said, we are excited to be joining Cherrydale this morning, and are looking forward to knowing and being known by you. We've already been very blessed by Pastor King's teachings and the fellowship that we're beginning to share in our Young Marrieds class and we look forward to getting more connected here.
We just wanted to end by reading a passage from Hebrews that to us summarizes the essence of fellowship and being part of a church, and it's our prayer for this body here at Cherrydale. It's Hebrews 10:19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.